Welcome back to the Encounter Now podcast, guys. It's been a hot minute. I guess we could probably use a different analogy there because I think it's been longer than a minute, but we're glad to be back. We have quite the story to tell you, quite a few stories to tell you actually, and we can't wait to get to sit down and hang out with you for a little bit. Hopefully on whatever your drive you're on or wherever you're listening from, you feel just welcomed and like you can just relate to somebody, because we definitely have gone through some things lately and we just want to save you the headache of having to go through the same thing. So that's our goal and aim with a lot of podcasts we do, is just we just want to encourage you and we just hope you feel that today. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Family!
Whoa, that was loud.
Sorry. Guys, it's been a minute. Holy moly. I was just telling Chelsea, I can't believe we're back in the saddle. It's been a while, and we've got a lot to catch you up on, but...
Yeah, definitely.
Man, where to start? It's been a wild ride these past few... We're at like the end of September, and...
I don't think we've done any podcasts.
Yeah, well, hey, we're gonna bring you up to speed on 4 weeks of our life, and hopefully the next 30-ish minutes, more or less.
I do think it's healthy, though, to be able to just step away from things for a while.
Yeah.
Be able to come back. But we have missed this. We love, 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 love podcasting.
Yeah, I like our family here and our routine and all of you guys. It's just really special, the community we've built with each of you. And so we've missed you. We're glad to be back with you. And this is going to be one of those episodes where it's like a lot of moving things that we discuss, but it's going to be good, I think. So just to get into it, not to waste your time or anything, we have moved successfully, finally.
Yeah.
Which that was a whole escapade and ride in and of itself. But we moved out of North Atlanta, and we have moved to the amazing, beautiful city of Greenville, South Carolina. We are proud,
yes,
proud to represent. It's so crazy because we live like less than 5 minutes from downtown, and it's such a cute little city. Like, you can walk around. Like, we were just there last night getting dinner.
For Nick's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy belated.
23, Jordan year. But yeah, just such a cool little town. We're so excited to be here and be in a new season of life with some great community and a great church. New spring, and it's just going to be really awesome, our season and time here, however long that may be. I hope it's a while, though, because this is a really cool place. But yeah, we moved, and like I said, that was a big ordeal, and we'll get into that maybe a little bit. But what we want to talk about really today is how to know when to say no. We have learned in the past few weeks how important this is, and so we just thought it was fitting for a kind of comeback podcast episode. And I'm sure you can already anticipate from your end of this podcast where we're going with this. We're going to tell you about some real life experience that we've had these past few weeks. And yeah, Chelsea, lead us into it.
Yeah, guys. So just some context. There is a thing that you probably don't know whenever we record, like when we're recording, if it's like the middle of the night or if it's the beginning of the morning or if it's the middle of the day. Most times you'll be able to know if it's the middle of the day because you'll hear like motorcycles or cars jamming in the back, and then we just have to apologize for it. But right now it is dead silent. And so can you guess what time it is?
I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with 2:13 in the morning. Can you guess it?
Nick. Yeah, it is like 2 a.m. right now, and we just... Oh my gosh, it's been a lot. So the reason
let's just start from the beginning. Let's just take them down the whole journey and show them at several increments of where we should have said no. And then
definitely
maybe they can learn when it's okay or when it's right, when they rather should know to say no.
Right. And I think our age demographic, like people around our age, they know that in certain scenarios, you know, either more apt to say yes in a certain situation because certain things entice us as young people. Like, say, money. You have to make a living. You have to have some sort of, you know, income coming in so that you can provide for yourself and for your family. We're becoming more independent. You who are listening right now have probably, you know, had experience with a job already, or maybe you plan on getting a job. It's just one of those things where it can alter what you think if you are just seeing a dollar sign next to things. I think a lot of the things that we're going to bring up have to do with money. And that's just because it's the stage of life that we're in, and we have to make a living. But in all honesty, during COVID, like when those months were really hitting us hard, I mean, it hit everybody hard. We were just like, oh my gosh, like we are unable to make money in any way that we had previously been making money. And everybody's so suffering. No businesses are wanting to work together. No ad companies are wanting to work with anybody. So what do we do? So we had to kind of strategize and ask around and see if like anybody needed any work help or anything like that. And I picked up a side job to be like a social media manager for a woman back in January, February, maybe a little bit after that. Not too sure on the date, but like early 2020. And then recently, like this past month, Nick picked up a job as a web designer, web developer. We'll get into that. With the same person, and she's very sweet. We love her as a person. However, we're just realizing that we are not cut out to do these things long term. And if we could go back, we probably would have said no. And that is because of several events that have happened, and you know, testing of our natural abilities and gifts and talents. And I just think that it's healthy for us to, you know, have these situations where we're tested and, you know, figuring things out. But also, it can be very stressful and hard and very emotionally trying. And so I hope that this dialogue, I guess, can save you from getting in a predicament like we were recently.
It was so stupid. I mean, I'm just like so like not amused even bringing it back up on this podcast right now. I'm honestly like kind of annoyed just thinking about it. So yes, like Chelsea said, like monetary reasons was one of the big reasons why I ended up taking it. But OMG, if I learned anything, it is that like do not take just any rando, unless you're homeless. Then in that case, you better learn how to design a website or something. But you know, I had done this a few times before, but I had no idea the magnitude that this was going to require. I will be 100% straight with you right now and tell you exactly what this took. This took Chelsea and I sitting at this desk, actually at this exact desk,
yeah,
for 4 nights in a row
with no sleep.
No sleep, guys. I watched the sun go down and I watched it come back up without going to bed. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I didn't get any sleep, like, you know, where I really got like 3 hours or 4 hours or something like that. Like, no, I legit didn't shut my eyes and didn't go to bed, and didn't lay down, didn't put my head on the desk, nothing. Like, I was typing and working all night long and all day. And there came a point where we did not leave our house for 5.5 days.
Guys, the dishes piled up, and we found when we were done with this site,
this
and
is
we
no joke.
Like
this
wiped
is,
our hands
this is
clean
gross,
of it.
But
yeah, so there were these like strawberry leftover things in the dish, whatever it's called, like the basket,
the sink.
It's late, and they were molding. Like, there was a lot of mold on them, and Nate and I just look at it, and we're just disgusted. Like, what? How does that happen? So, anyways.
It happens because you get locked away for a week, and you don't even think about doing it. I mean, honestly, like, the house was disgusting. We were disgusting. Like, it was just horrible. And okay. So, if I could encourage you to do anything, this is all, you know, water under the bridge now, like we're good, but if I could encourage you to do anything, it would be to examine the decisions that you're making very, very closely with a very particular eye, and look at things objectively. Know your strengths. For the love of the Lord, please know your strengths and know what is not your strengths as well. And do your best to operate in what you're good at. And I know that's not as easy for everyone as it just sounds in saying that. Believe me, I get it. But don't do what I did and do something that like you're decent at, but you know, it's definitely not my strong suit. I didn't go to school for like coding or something.
Well, yeah. And you, I mean, you're gifted in this area, I would say, if it was just one shop, but this particular shop that he was setting up was for an event that was supposed to be held in person, but COVID had, you know, kind of ruined the plans. It's done that for a lot of things. And it wasn't just one shop. It was a website that hosted 50 vendors' shops, which we had to input every single item with descriptions and tags and photos and pairing prices. It in collections and putting it in the right spot on the website. And, you know, each vendor had between like minimal products to 80 products. Like there was just that much of a range. So the whole website was very saturated. And we're not going to get too into it because you guys probably don't care. But
hey, but I will say, if any homies out there need a tutorial for free on Shopify, hit me up. I got you. Because I learned that thing inside and out.
Yeah. So, it is just, wow. We just look back and we're just like, how did we do that? Like, how did we go that many nights without sleep, without eating? Like,
there was one morning Chelsea was sitting down on the floor in the office and she like gets up and she just starts crying, just like straight up weeping. I think it was a culmination of stress, anxiety, and lack of sleep.
Lack of food, and then seeing boxes all over our house that we haven't been able to unpack because of this decision. Yeah.
So let's go back a little bit and backtrack on what it was that set up this scenario that we got ourselves into, because I think that would be valuable to people more so than them just hearing about the reality of our chaos at times. Mm-hmm. What ended up causing all of this was, more than anything, past the money stuff, like beyond that, was a sense of panic and a sense of desperation.
Yeah.
And whenever you're in those kinds of situations, or when you're in that frame of mind, you just take the most plausible solution that comes about, no matter how disruptive it has the potential to be. One big thing I've learned in leadership as of late is that you should never, ever make a altering decision when you're in panic mode, or when things are like, you know, hitting the fan, or when you can't think straight. I've been a big proponent as well of like detaching from situations and thinking through them with an objective eye. And in this situation, I just did not do that. I just flat did not do it. And I absolutely should have, but I didn't. I failed there. And so I think that is a great lesson to be learned. If you can do that, and if you can notice that within yourself, then I think honestly you'll become a lot better decision maker. I think you'll make better decisions faster. And I think that you won't get yourself into a scenario like I did recently where, you know, because of your disruption inside, you feel like you have to make a decision. And any solution, whether it be real or not, that comes your way, you're just going to take it. And that will get you in so much, I won't say trouble, but it'll cause so much more stress and tension on your life and in your life than it needed to. And so that's my little tidbit that I just wanted to throw in there. What do you think? Did you notice anything different, or do you think I was pretty on there? What do you think?
Well, I think the rush decisions too usually end up being ones that you regret, because in this case it was pretty rushed and we were under like kind of a desperate time crunch of like needing to make a certain amount of money within a certain amount of time so that we could move into the place that we were hoping for. And that's a whole nother story. Like, we thought we were going to move into the heart of downtown and the place kept getting like not approved for inspection. And so we were like, oh, this is a little sketchy that these people don't know what they're doing. And we ended up backing out of it and then ended up inquiring about this house that we're living in now.
I didn't think we were going to get it.
Yeah, us either. I mean, me either. Us either. I don't know who us is.
Who else is here? The Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I hope. So, yeah, it was just, I mean, a lot of things have all come together. And you know, you look at back at these moments, even the ones that you regret kind of making, and you do see how God is so faithful, because he's carried you through even the decisions that you so regret, and that he probably, you know, maybe nudged you in some sort of way that was just like, not the best.
Told you so.
But he still carries you through, still loves you, still, you know, nudges you in the right direction even more so next time, just for your protection. So yeah.
I will say at the beginning of this, there's one thing that I didn't do that I wish I would have. And the day we made this decision for me to take on that task, that contract position, I felt like a sense of apprehension.
Really?
Yeah. And it wasn't like an apprehension to where it was like crippling. It was just a sense of apprehension, like, this seems like a very tall order and I don't know if I can actually pull this off, which I did. We did. I have no idea how, but I felt a sense of apprehension nonetheless. And the longer I have all my like precious thoughts in the shower. I was thinking about this in the shower earlier about how I felt that day when I decided to do this. And it didn't really feel like a giant, like overwhelming, like this is going to change my life forever or anything like that. But it did feel like, I don't think that this is what I'm actually supposed to do. But I totally ignored it because I wasn't seeing through those eyes. Like I wasn't even inquiring about what God might have to say about it. I was only thinking about the short term, what it meant for me, what I was going to be able to do. And I think had I listened to that nudge that was God, 100% God, placing within me, I think I probably would have found something better on a better time frame and just overall better for my mental and spiritual and emotional health, especially because it affected both of us.
Oh, yeah.
And think about how much tension it brought between us in that like time, which we kind of rallied together, but
it wasn't really tension between us. It was just tension in our own heart of, I've never experienced so much stress on my heart where it feels like there's constant adrenaline pumping from the center of my chest. And I know what it feels like to have an anxiety attack. And I know you know what it feels like to have an anxiety attack.
Yeah, because I had them.
But I just feel like most of the anxiety attacks and anxiety stories I hear from people is very inward, where it's like analyzing themselves or analyzing things that, you know, they had done wrong that day. It's like very self. But ours was so outward that it felt like it was the world weighing on our shoulders of like, all these people are upset that things aren't the way that they are hoping. And it's like 50 different people and they're all calling us mad. And that was another thing that was just really hard on me.
Well, also, you know, people might not understand, but these people each, every single one of them paid thousands of dollars. There was a small exception of a few who paid less than that, but most of these people paid thousands of dollars to do this. And so that accumulated amount of money was always in the back of my mind, like, are all these people going to get what they paid for? And like, this is all my responsibility.
Well, yeah, and none of that money goes to us. It's just to the person who's hosting this. And so you're thinking, oh, this person's going to hold us accountable for all of this loss. But it's just, we can't put ourselves in these situations as people who are like really just not gifted in those areas. So the thing that Nick said earlier about operating in your gifting and your areas of talent and just doing what you know that you're called to, I feel like I'm learning that even more over the years. Every time I try to do something outside of my wheelhouse, like where I feel free to be creative, I feel free to be able to do what I desire and that I feel like God is leading me to do, then I go a little crazy, or I just don't.
You shut down.
Yeah.
You really do shut down in a very significant way. It's very easy to tell.
To not say, I need to stop saying yes to those things, you know, but sometimes you get in a place of desperation or of like, just, I have to figure something out. And so I'll just do anything. And we have to learn to be able to see things from the outside view and know that our God is a big God who can orchestrate things outside of, you know, our minds that are just so set on, you know, it's not right right now. It's not right, you know, this moment. And I don't know what we're going to do next week when this is due, and we don't have something set up for it. And it's just anxiety. It's thinking of the future and what's going to happen. In reality, you don't know what's going to happen. And you just have to be the best prepared that you can be and, you know, be wise, but don't just like give yourself to anything.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from one of our network supporters.
There are some daily comforts that just make you feel grateful and grounded in life, like petting a dog, hitting that snooze button, and of course, the first cup of coffee, or in my case, tea. Nick loves coffee. And there are some things you count on every day to help you get where you want to go. Things like Upper Room Daily Devotional Guide. You can count on the Upper Room for daily inspiration, daily community, and daily prayer. It's the only daily devotional magazine written by readers, ordinary people, people who have encountered God in daily situations, just like you and me. The Upper Room is here for you every day through your email, a custom app, or printed magazine. Enjoy a free 30-day trial of our email or app service by visiting upperroom.org/welcome. That's upperroom.org/welcome to get your first 30 days free.
Something that we were very foolish in was not trusting the gifts that God had given us to, like you said, be creative. So how much, you know, if we're going to talk about money, we're just going to keep it real on the podcast, which we always do. How much more profitable could it have been for you to use the gifts that God has given you to provide for yourself and to give something back to the world in a creative way that gives glory to God, whether it be a podcast or a video or a product or anything like that? Like, how much more, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Rather than just saying like, oh God, I don't trust what you've given me to work with, so I'm just going to do this thing that's really not what you've gifted me to do because it's just a quick, easy, like patch and fix. Whereas if you like press into him and say like, Lord, you've given me something and I believe that what you've given me, I'm going to be able to use to provide for myself, but also bring glory to you. That should be your first priority, like bring glory to you and provide for myself. And so like, I'm going to lean into that and trust that and push into that. And so I would say if you're listening and you don't really know what that is for you, and hey, I'm not saying this either. I'm not saying like if you feel, you know, God pushing you in the direction to like be a pastor or something and you're 15, that you're just going to like all of a sudden be a pastor. Like usually it doesn't work like that. Like you're probably going to work at UPS or something for a while. Like, so there's a gradual process that it goes into, but the Lord can use your gifting in every single one of those scenarios.
Yeah.
But I would say if you're the person who feels like you're stuck, like you're just 100% stuck in the mud and you can't move forward, I would just say like start literally praying, because you're talking to a God who owns the entire universe. And so all the little situations in your life, he can definitely orchestrate too. But I feel like people just don't think that prayer and asking the Lord to move and to intervene and to change things is worthwhile, because we love thinking that like we have control over stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or we just really don't trust the Lord to begin with. And so I just want to encourage you listening today to do that and hear me closely. I'm also talking to myself, because I haven't been the best at this at many points in my life, and I wish that I would have been better at this particular last thing that we both went through together.
Yeah, me too. And I think one thing that sometimes I'll just, you know, say yes to the craziest things, or like things that seem, you know, okay in my mind, and then you get a few weeks or months down the road and it's not like what you signed up for, basically. I feel like there's a lot of scenarios like that in our lives. You're probably thinking of one right now. But I feel like we get in the habit sometimes of downplaying our giftings or what God has given us, or sometimes we heighten the just sense of I don't have enough, or I'm not going to be able to attain that, or, you know, you focus on all of the just negative side of everything, and the gratefulness and the joy is diminished, and it goes down, and like you're not able to even see into that side because you're seeing through a lens of negativity and of defeat and of shame in some areas. And so you always have to like be mindful of the lens you're seeing your life through, because some people, even Christians, I mean, we're Christians, we'll say that, you know, we're healed, whole people that are redeemed in Jesus, but we act like we are defeated and fearful and
anxious
just,
and broken.
Yeah. And it's because we are believing those things in our minds because we're not renewing our minds in what is holy, perfect, true. And I mean, we're speaking to ourselves right now. I did not have probably 5 moments in the past 4 weeks where I got to have like super intentional time with God. And I felt like because I was just so anxious that I had to like find a way to get rid of that, like physically, you know, by like drinking a certain tea or, you know, using, you know, just like getting in some sort of habit or whatever. And I was telling myself in my mind, I'm just like, I couldn't even focus on a book. I couldn't even focus on scripture, like that. I couldn't do that. When in reality, it's not the reality. It's just, in a way, I feel like I'd gotten so far down the line of being so anxious that I was just believing every lie that was coming into my head. Mm-hmm. So we're with you guys in these fears and in these thoughts. Like, we're human too, and we get it. So we just wanted to share in some mistakes that we've made lately, and hopefully you can learn from them.
And, you know, this all really puts the book of Ephesians, to me, really into perspective about how important it is to put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
Because when we don't, it's exactly what you said. We just fall prey and we fall captive to every little thing that comes against us, and it will. Whether it's life or money or circumstances or relationships or friends or whatever, life is going to come against you. And Paul knew that when he wrote Ephesians. And so I would just encourage you today, if you're listening and you're discouraged, you're anxious, you're hurting, you're broken, you don't really feel like you have direction, I would just encourage you to literally, in the most real way, real sense, lean into Jesus. Like, really hear him and hear what he has to say about what you're going through. Because every affliction that we've suffered, he suffered too.
What is he saying about what you've gone through? Because you're telling them to lean in, but
yeah.
What is he saying to you?
Yeah, that's really good. I personally have felt the Lord saying to me that this is the exact kind of thing that's going to continue to happen until you follow me in every single area of your life. You will be anxious. You will be stressed. You will be hurting. You will be broken. You will be nervous. You will be fearful. But when we choose to trust in the Lord, like Proverbs 3 says, like lean into him with all that we are, then, I mean, his way is the way that leadeth unto life. And so, obviously, I want to be going down that direction and down that road.
I feel like the idea and the process of surrender is very powerful. But sometimes in my mind, I think of surrender as laziness. I don't know why that goes through my brain that way. But, I mean, this is just me being honest. Like, I guess as a person who, I mean, most people struggle with this, of control. Of like wanting control over certain things. Surrender to me sometimes like registers as laziness. And so I think that's something that I'm working through right now, because I can get anxious about every little thing and wanting to control, you know, all the things, because I want to be debt free. I want to, you know, feel comfortable in my own home without feeling like, you know, I have to change all these different scenarios to be able to, you know, have the life that I feel like I, not that I want, but that I feel like the Lord wants us to have. I don't know. It's just, I don't know how to talk through this, but
yeah, I think I get what you're saying. It's rare that people have a like inclination and a desire to control every little thing. In fact, I would say it's probably the exact opposite, but what people do want to have control over is outcomes. People have this like idea or image or place in their life kind of cooked up in their head, and we all do it. I do it. You do it. Like, it's innate human kind of stuff, but we all put this idea in our head and this outcome, like what's going to happen, and then we... Mm-hmm. As we're thinking of this, where the control aspect starts to come into play is that, okay, the way to get there is for me to control all these variables and all these pieces and like make things go in the direction that I want them to go in and like stab at the wall until it breaks. But the danger in that is that you're only looking at like what's directly ahead of you. You're not looking at Jesus, and I will die on that hill. There is a very clear line between working hard and controlling all the variables in your life, or at least attempting to. And when you try to control every little thing in your life, you're not trusting Jesus at all. You're just saying, like, you're just really putting Jesus in the passenger seat, and like you're dictating where this thing goes. And he'll still be with you, but you will not be giving him leadership or control or letting him call the shots. Mm-hmm. And that's not a place that I want to be.
Me either. But it feels like you're talking to me, but yet you're talking to other people. Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, no. Okay, he's calling me out.
No, I didn't really like direct that at you at all.
I know.
I just think it's a great like generalization.
I just had admitted that I had, you know, control issues. And you go, I just don't think that's a great place to be. And I think you need to do that. Guys, I feel like
I wasn't calling you out, babe.
No, it's okay. I'm just so grateful that we're in a place of you know, maneuvering in the right direction and being able to have those times with the Lord is just so important to me. And so I've missed that. And I don't know if you guys have ever gone through a time where you had spent a good bit of time without like having good intentional time with Jesus, and then you like and go back and you get to just listen and read and spend time with him, and it just feels so refreshing and like you had not drank water in so long.
I was literally just thinking it's like, it's probably like the analogy of walking through a desert and then mm-hmm. finding a crystal clear spring.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people think in their heads that it's a shameful thing to return back to somebody who's been waiting for you to spend time with them. But in reality, I think of the prodigal son all the time whenever I think of those scenarios where somebody will DM me and say, you know, I just don't know what to do. Like, I feel like the Lord's mad at me because I just haven't, you know, been so intentional about our relationship for so long. And mm-hmm. it's actually, you know, the opposite. He's just ready.
He is excited. Yeah. Think of God as excited at the idea of you coming back to him and you spending time with him and you mm-hmm. pressing into that with him. He's not going to be sitting there with his arms crossed, ready to grill you, but he's excited.
Ready to grill you.
Yeah, like he's waiting expectantly, and he can't wait. So press into Jesus, y'all. Like, give him all that you are, all that you have.
I want you to give the Lord all that you have. Like the same way that you give that one article place that you visit every day about sports, Swamp. The same effort.
Swamp 247.
Yeah, it's football, guys. Nick is all into college football.
Go all Gators. We whipped Ole Miss 51-35. But man, oh man, does the defense have some work to do. But
well, anyways,
it'll be all good. Hopefully Dan the Man Mullen's going to win us a championship soon.
You're probably saying a lot of things people don't know.
I don't know.
But we love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. And we will be back on regularly scheduled programming very soon. We plan on recording some podcasts ahead of time so we can help my family move to Florida. Because my family's moving to Florida.
Florida.
That's so fun. Let's go. So excited. But yes, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we hope to see you on social media and our next podcast on YouTube.
I don't know. Will we be seeing them on social media? The Social Dilemma. We just watched it before we did this and it freaked me out.
I already knew all that stuff. I know that people are always listening to me, basically. Our phones are controlling our lives.
Yeah, kind of creepy. But we love y'all. Remember, the only way you can change tomorrow is to take a step today. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Encounter Now. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.